So hello everybody and welcome to this Productive Anywhere interview with Chris Gilbo. Chris is an uber avid traveler and has visited almost 170 countries so far, all while writing a wonderful blog and building a small business. So first of all, hi Chris, and thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
So to get started, could you please introduce yourself quickly and tell us a bit about how you got started traveling? Also, what is the main type of work that you are doing?
Sure. So I'm 32 years old now, and I've been traveling for about 10 years. For maybe four of those years, I was living overseas in West Africa. And I've always been self-employed. I was not a very good employee. I didn't like working for someone else, and I didn't do a very good job at it.
Okay.
And so I always learned, you know, how to work for myself and how to kind of support myself through various self-employment things. And maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I wanted to be a writer. I felt like I had been fortunate to have had a lot of different experiences and with living overseas and working for myself. And then I started traveling more. And so I started the blog, The Art of Nonconformity, in 2008, and just started writing about my travels and my quest to visit every country in the world. And so now the main type of work that I'm doing is exactly that. It's traveling and writing and building a business.
Perfect. That sounds really great. From what I can see on your blog, your travel style now is comparatively fast. I mean, you spent the time in Africa, which mm-hmm. were several years, but now that you are on this quest to visit every country in the world, you're switching countries pretty fast. And when you're on the road, you might only stay for a day or two in some countries, and you also spend, of course, a lot of time on flights and airports and so on.
Yes.
So do you feel that getting your work and especially your writing done on the road is harder for you than doing it back at your base, back in Portland? Or do you manage to find complete focus wherever you are?
Well, it can be a little bit of a challenge. And the first thing I would say about the travel is, you know, I've been doing it for a very long time. So there are some places where I've spent, you know, much longer than a couple of days.
Sure.
But now, you know, because it is like I'm coming to the end and I have, you know, 20 more countries to go to, then so that's why it can be a little bit fast sometimes. What I find is it's very easy for me to kind of maintain my work and do the things that I need to do in terms of responding, in terms of updating and maybe creating a little bit. But it is a little bit of a challenge to create a lot of new work, especially writing, you know, as I'm traveling. And so I can do some blog posts. I can do some small things. I write a newspaper column. But like when I'm actually trying to write a book, and I'm trying to write a manifesto or a longer project, then it's much easier for me to be like in my home base or maybe traveling, but not traveling so much. So that's why I kind of go back and forth. I travel very actively for about 2 weeks, and then I'm usually home in the base for about 2 weeks.
Okay, so you pretty much like have these 2 weeks intervals. That's what's working best for you?
Yes, roughly speaking, and sometimes I'm home for a bit longer. Like earlier this year, I was writing my second book and then also getting ready to host the World Domination Summit in Portland. And so both of those projects were pretty big. And so during that time, I was actually home for maybe about 2 months or so. So I was home for that time doing that. And then right after I finished writing the book and right after the summit, then I started traveling more actively. So I kind of go back and forth.
Cool. So, I mean, when you're actually in the travel part of your lifestyle, you will anyway continue to work, as we all see, because, I mean, your blog is getting updates and you respond to email very quickly. And, yeah, I mean, you get lots of stuff done anyway. So how do you manage when you're really on the road to balance the fun in the moment of experiencing the place and working on things that might be unpleasant at the time but also necessary to advance your greater cause, like what you call your legacy?
Yeah, I guess I would say that I don't think of it as something unpleasant. I think of it as something that's fun and meaningful. Like, you know, you mentioned responding to emails. Well, I actually like to hear from people. And if it's my readers that are writing in with something, like, you know, I enjoy communicating with them. And so in some ways, I feel like it's a sense of responsibility. Like, this is my work and the work allows me to travel. So I have to keep doing it. But it's also not really a bad thing. So I guess for me, I just try to break it down into some blocks of time. And, you know, if I am on a layover somewhere, like I was just in Frankfurt recently, and so, you know, I know that city fairly well, and maybe in the morning I'll spend my time working and doing my emails and doing all of that, and then the afternoon I will just go out and walk and explore, or maybe take a run by the river, you know, in the evening, and then go to dinner. So I do a little bit of both. I do explore and travel, but I also don't mind the work that I do because that's what allows me to travel. And so it's all integrated. I don't think of it as like, completely separate or something.
Sure. I mean, this is like going beyond this old concept of work-life balance and really include the work Yes. as an integral part of your life, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, and I think that's very important because I'm not trying to do less work. I'm not trying to put off my work or find a way to where all I could do is travel. I think if I didn't travel, I would miss the travel. But if I didn't work, I would also miss the work.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, nobody wants just to be sitting at home or maybe to travel around the world all the time, but not have really anything he's contributing to, right?
Yes, I think so.
In another interview, you said that you like routines and also the advantage of having fixed hours for your creative work, which is probably something you can establish back at home, but that they are also very hard to maintain while on the road. So consequently, you said that you prefer to work by deliverables and that you try to maintain a discipline to continually create and continually work, a bias towards action, as you express it. So I really love this approach and think that mastering it is crucial for any productive traveler. So I would like to chat a bit about this. Like, sure. Was this you already said that you weren't like a happy employee, and consequently you preferred always to work for your own. So this sounds a bit like working by deliverables was something that came naturally to you. Did you always do it this way, or was it something you really established when you started to travel more?
I think I was always drawn to it. Like I always felt like that's what I was supposed to do. But I think it's somewhat unusual. Like in our culture, at least in Western culture, if you do work at a job, then you're probably used to working based on a time or based on a routine, and you go in at this certain time and you have to be there for this number of hours. Mm-hmm. So it can be hard to kind of shift your mindset. But I think it's much better, and I think it's much easier to base your work, on deliverables. And so, for me, as a writer, some of the deliverables are, okay, if I have to have this number of blog posts complete, if I have to have this column done, if I'm writing a book, then the book is 70,000 words. Okay, mm-hmm. I need to break that down. Hopefully I can do 1,000 words a day. Then, of course, there's an editing process and all of that. But by focusing on the deliverables, it helps me kind of feel like I'm still making progress towards something. You can spend you can spend hours a day on the computer not really doing anything.
Sure.
Or you can spend like 15 minutes and get a lot done, so that's why I choose to kind of focus on those deliverables.
But how do you then, like, you have these deliverables established, and once you reach your goal for the day, do you stop and do something else, or do you sometimes just continue to work anyway?
I think at that point it depends on how I'm feeling.
Okay.
If I'm feeling good, and I'm enjoying it, then I will definitely keep going. If not, if I have finished the quota or whatever it is I decided to do, then I will go ahead and stop. And so I kind of connect my happiness and my well-being to these things, and hopefully not in an unhealthy way, but in the same way that you would exercise or something. If you're trying to exercise, then if you miss a day or something, it's probably okay. But if you miss a whole week or you miss 2 weeks, you start feeling bad. And so I think of it the same way with the discipline of writing or the discipline of creating whatever your deliverables are. If I'm completing those things, then I'm feeling good about myself. If not, then I kind of feel like I need to make some changes in my environment to make that happen.
Sure. So this is also almost like a routine that's part of your life, even though you might not have a fixed hour to do it, but you definitely got into the routine to write every single day, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. And about the other deliverables, I suspect that you have this goal to write, let's say, 500 or 1,000 words a day, and you probably do that every day. But about the other things that you do, do you decide about them just in the morning or the evening before, or do you have like a longer plan that you follow?
A little bit more of a longer plan. I have both just a regular notebook, like a paper notebook, that I kind of write down everything I need to do in different projects. And then I also do use some software, on my computer and my iPad to track those things. And so I try to review those things every day, but just on an ongoing basis, whenever I think of something, I either write it down or I put it in my computer. And then when I start working on things, I look at my list and I try to work off the list.
Cool. So yeah, maybe this would be interesting. It's a bit nerdy, but like this topic of technology that you now mentioned, I believe you're pretty much a minimalist when it comes to gear and gadgets, but still You already mentioned you use some kind of software. Could you explain us a bit like your workflow? Because like to get a bit into your brain on how you organize all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I do think the most important concept for everyone is to avoid keeping the things in your head and to make sure they are written down somewhere. So whether it is, just on your paper or whether it is the software or Evernote or Google Docs or something, I definitely think like if you're trying to manage a lot of different projects, you have to record that somewhere. So let's see. Lately, I have been using OmniFocus. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, I've heard about it. It's pretty much a pretty close getting things done implementation, right?
It is, exactly. Yeah, it's like a task management thing. And so I've been doing that, and I used to use a different one. And so sometimes I change the program. I don't think the program itself is the most important thing. I think the more important part is the organizational concept of, taking this big project, whether you're trying to write a book or travel around the world or whatever, and breaking it down into all the specific steps and then working on each of those steps, as they come along. So that's what I try to do.
So you pretty much follow, let's say, at least the basic getting things done methodology with this, right?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I probably don't follow all of it, but I read that book like most people have, maybe 5 or 10 years ago or something, and it's definitely made a big difference in terms of how I think about my projects and my tasks.
Sure, and then the next step is to really adapt it to your personal way of doing things.
Exactly.
Cool. So one other thing that's probably also related to your deliverables and to the bigger picture of everything, is your yearly review that you are doing regularly. And in this review, you basically retreat from day-to-day work for a week or so and look back at the past 12 months and also plan ahead for the upcoming year. Would you say that this review is like an outline for everything you are going to do in the next year?
Yes, I think it's absolutely essential for me, and it's something I started maybe 6 years ago with my wife. She and I do it together, and I mean, she has her own projects, and I have my own. But we like spend that week together, and so it's almost like a holiday. We go on, we have holiday, but then during the mornings, and I'm kind of looking out at everything I hope to do over the next year, and I'm trying to make sure that everything is on track with what I want to accomplish, and to make sure that there is convergence between all my different projects, between my business work and my writing work and my travel. And I think that's important because, for most of the time, like I'm really focused on all of the things that are in front of me, and I don't always do a good job of thinking a little bit further out. So that's why I take a week to kind of like, think through the next 12 months and make sure that I'm on track with everything.
And then you end up with somehow an outline of each month.
It's not so much an outline of each month, it's more of an outline of each project or each area of my life. And so like I will think about business, and I think, okay, how is my business going now, and what do I hope to achieve 12 months from now? I will usually identify maybe a few projects I want to specifically work on or create. And so then I think, okay, these are my goals, for the year in business. The same is true with the writing. The same is true with travel. With travel, I usually visit about 20 countries a year. And so in December, I think ahead to the next year and think, okay, what are those countries? And then I may actually put some of them in specific months, but for me, it's not so much the time placement as it is the overall project and the role and the goal of what I'm trying to do.
So it's again really based on deliverables rather than on a concrete plan that's based on a calendar, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay, cool. Do you then, you said you try to review your lists or your project lists and stuff like that each day. Do you also do some like bigger reviews during the year? Or
You
is
know,
it
I really
just
should.
the
I'm
single
supposed
one?
to. Yeah, no, I say that I do four of them every year, but I think I've been falling behind on that. So I think mostly right now I'm just doing the big one every year in December, and then just as I go along. So I should probably do some more like quarterly or something reviews.
Okay, cool. And now you once said in another interview, I think it was, relaxing stresses me out. But at the same time, which is really something, I suppose we all see it because of the huge output that you have. But at the same time, you also describe yourself as a bit of an introvert, and you say you benefit from some time alone, like solitude sessions, time to just you just free up to think about your work. And I'm personally a huge fan of idleness, specifically because my brain will get a lot of thinking done during that time. even though I might just be sleeping or having a beer or walking through the park, whatever it is.
Yes.
Can you relate to this, like this definition of idleness, or do you really get stressed out when relaxing and are pretty much always on?
Yes. Well, you know, it might be a little bit of an exaggeration to say relaxing stresses me out. I think what I mean is, you know, I'm just very oriented towards producing and creating, and I want to always initiate things and do things. And if I feel like if I'm not creating something, then I start to feel bad. So that's what I mean by that. But I definitely relate to the concept of solitude and idleness as you described. I mean, I like to have my beer in the evenings. I like to go for a long run. You know, I also, since I travel so much, I'm often in transit. I'm on long flights and sitting in airports and on trains or buses. And so I try to use some of that time for, you know, thinking about things. So I definitely have a lot of solitude, you know, idleness time as well. So maybe it is a balance.
Sure, absolutely. And this is also something that then again will fuel like the next project that you do, right? You also see, yeah, because I always see like this practical benefit from this time I take off, just noticing that many solutions to questions or problems that I had will automatically pop on the next time I'll focus back on them.
Yes, of course. That's great. And I think it does help sometimes to leave projects behind for a little while. And if you're struggling with something, maybe put it down for a week or so and then pick it up. I think that definitely helps with writing. If you're writing longer pieces or manifestos or books or anything, it definitely helps to write for a while and then to leave it and do something else and then come back to it. So I understand that.
Cool. So here's my last question already. And it's also the most open one. Do you have any other lessons to share with people who are thinking about taking their work to the road and become productive anywhere, specifically maybe related to experiences that you made, to challenges that you had to overcome during your own experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's quite open-ended. I guess sometimes people ask about motivation, and they ask like, you know, how do I do something if I don't feel like doing it? And I always think that's an interesting question. I think, you know, in some cases there are things that we have to do, and we just can kind of, you know, kind of push through it or whatever. But I really feel like most people will find, you know, their biggest success and their most fulfilling work when they find a way to orient it around something that they are already motivated to do, as opposed to trying to create motivation for it. And in my own life, as I look back, you know, of 10 years of working for myself and now, you know, 4 years in this writing career, I can definitely say that, you know, the projects that have been the most successful, first of all, and then also, or maybe even more importantly, the projects that I've found to be the most meaningful or fulfilling for me are the ones where I was just really excited to do them and I felt motivated to do it. And I felt like, you know, when I worked on them, there was this flow and it was just exactly like what I was supposed to do, as opposed to the things that I really had to, you know, psych myself up to do or push myself towards. I mean, it's an interesting balance because you definitely want to challenge yourself. But I think it's very hard in the long term to kind of push yourself towards something that you're not motivated to do. So when people ask about, like, how do I do something? How can I, you know, create this career and travel the world or whatever? I always think, okay, what, you know, what does that really look like? What are you excited about? What are you motivated to do? And then how can we, you know, craft some kind of career? How can we create some kind of value out of that other people are also interested in? So those are the things that I always like to think about. Whenever I get stuck, I always ask myself, like, what's the problem here? You know, why am I not motivated to do this thing? And how can I fix that? Maybe I need to change something structurally, or maybe I'm just working on the wrong thing.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's a great lesson for itself, but another lesson that's really swinging here in the background as well is to also look like, what is the thing that I want to do and where I can also deliver huge value to other people, just as you have done as well with a lot of success due to that, because you were always very much focused as well on what can you deliver to the people, right?
Exactly. No, that's good. I'm glad you said that. And you'll find over time, as I'm sure you have too, that that is very rewarding. And valuable and fulfilling, and you know, people will send you emails saying they appreciated this thing that you did, and it kind of keeps you going and makes you want to do something different. And then you travel and you meet people who have read your blog or they've heard of you or something, and then when you go on from that, from wherever you were, you'll be thinking about them later. And when you make the next blog post or write the next book or whatever the project is, you'll think, okay, how can I do a good job, you know, for this person? I have to like raise my standard. I have to take this responsibility seriously. So in many ways, it's almost like a circle or a cycle of motivation that continues as you go along. And I think it's very positive.
Yeah, and I think all these questions of practical getting things done stuff really come after that, right? If you have this basis of motivation, then you mm-hmm. can probably find your own approach to the technique and the methods, but this is really the base of it all, if I understand you right.
Yes, I agree. I think they're both important, you know, because you can be, some people are very motivated, but they don't really know what to do or they don't know how to apply it. And so that's where I do think productivity tips and things can help. But yes, if you're only going to have one of those things, it's probably much better to have, you know, the right motivation and the right perspective.
Cool. Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experience here a bit with us. It was very interesting to really get this look into your brain and how you approach your projects. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much as well. It was a big honor, and I wish you well.